be here this morning. I thank the Lord for coming in for me. We were in Springfield on last Sunday, and the saints there send their love to you. Enjoy some time of fellowship with them. Thank God for his grace. I've been thinking about meditating on this topic for some time now. I think it was probably about 3 weeks ago, if I remember correctly, that Erlene was in the third chapter of Ephesians, towards the end of that chapter. I'm going to read, so that's where we're going this morning. I'm going to read just a couple of verses. There's really one kind of phrase I'm going to take out of here, but as she was teaching this, something jumped out at me that I have to say that was a little bit overwhelming to me, and still is. And I was impressed with the thought about Paul praying here for these saints, and I've always been impressed with these prayers, and I thought about this, but there's something that jumped out at me that made me realize that Paul prayed for these saints in this way because there were some things that you can't really fully explain. And so each one of us individually needs a revelation from God on these things. And I think I'll just start in the 17th verse. It's kind of in the middle of his prayer a little bit. And he starts above this in verse 16, I guess. But in verse 17, he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And that phrase kind of jumped out at me. And as I want to do, I went and looked at some of these words. And I thought this was interesting. The word filled, nothing fantastic there particularly. It just means to be replete. Although one of the many meanings, one of the ways it's used is to cram, you know, like to cram something in. We go sometimes and get Chinese food at Dillon's, and it's different every place you go, but there's one place where there's an Oriental man that serves, and he crams it in there. I mean, he puts it in and pushes it down and crams it in. That's kind of the idea, to cram it in, to really fill it up. And the second word is the word fullness. Now, strangely enough, these two words are just different forms of the same word. The second word, fullness, it means repletion or completion, or that which fills. I thought that was interesting to me. Paul says he wants these saints to know something. He says that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. It's one of those things, you know, you can't really explain it. You can't put it into some words that say, here's what this is and how this works and how it. But God wants to fill us. And it says, so these two words were interesting to me because he wants to fill us completely all the way. And it says the second word, because I think because Paul had no better way to explain it, he just says that which fills. And I like that because it reminded me that the only thing that truly fills is God. Every person has a void, something that's missing. We've been through this a lot, and I'm going to go back to it for just briefly this morning, but something's missing because we lost something. Back in the garden, something was lost. And so there's this thing, this part of us that needs to be filled. And man works hard to try to fill. So my little demonstration here this morning, I told Jack I was going to sell something. I'm not really selling you anything, but I thought, you know, I would show you that that looks like it's pretty full of milk, wouldn't you say? There's three cups, by the way. I looked over here, it's three cups. So I would say there's three cups of milk in there. Would you agree that there's three cups of milk in there? Would you agree that there's three cups of milk in there? I think that says a lot of times. We say, oh, I'm filled with God. We even sing a song, don't we? Yes, filled with God. But there was something else in there taking up space. Because there is something missing in every person. They are continually trying to fill it with something. And the world offers many options to fill stuff. I saw a thing the other day about in Pakistan. A lot of Pakistani people. And they were particularly in one town, but a lot of Pakistani people went and immigrated to Europe in different places. I guess Norway was pretty common, and Germany and some other places. And they did that because there was work there. And they made money, and then they came back and they built mansions, huge houses, 6, 7, 8 bedrooms, 3, 4, 5, 6 bathrooms, huge houses. And they're mostly sitting empty. Because they don't want to come back and live there. They want to stay where they're at in Europe. But they built those houses. And somebody said, why did they build these extravagant houses? Well, because they want to show off their wealth. Something that fills something. And there are many ways in which men try to fill things today. But Paul prayed for the saints. Because he wanted them to be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, again, if you just think about that a little bit, what that just said. Before I get too far, because I'm gonna get ahead of myself if I go too far there. Let's go to Romans for just a minute. What I want to note here, and again, I just do this briefly because I think we need to be reminded of this, but you think about being filled with God, about the glory of our God, about who he is. In the third chapter of Romans and verse 23, and you know this verse probably, it's a pretty familiar verse that we learned, most of us, probably when we were children. Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I studied that verse just a little bit. Every once in a while, I go to, I have Robertson's word pictures, I think is what it's called. Anyway, he gets into like the meanings of the words and the grammatical things and things that I typically wouldn't understand very much. And I, you know, so I just kind of read what he has to say about things. But his point about this verse here was the word to come short. it seems to be missing part of the tense. And his take on that was that it is intended to demonstrate or portray a continuing thing. In other words, it's not set in some past or present or future. It's a, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Like, the idea is that we are coming short of the glory of God because we've sinned. And men are today, no matter how glorious they think they are, falling short, missing the mark. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's one of the things that we're missing. And because of that, if you go to the first chapter of Romans, and in I noticed that when I wrote it down, verse 23 as well. Sometimes I don't pay that close attention to these things, but interesting, the same verse. Let's read verse 22 with this. Speaking about unbelieving man, it says in verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. It says, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Changed the glory. In other words, this doesn't mean that they changed it. It really actually means exchange is the real word here. They swapped the glory of God for things they could see and touch and understand. The Egyptians, their gods were, the crocodile, and I think they worshiped cats and different things, different animals. And so it goes throughout history. Today in India, there is a temple you can go to that is, they worship rats. So it's a temple full of rats. I don't know. It may just be me, but I don't think God intended rats to be worshipped. It doesn't seem like the right thing. But this is what man has done. He has exchanged, he has swapped the glory of God for things they can see, things they recognize. And so when Paul says that he prays that we be filled with the fullness of God, I was thinking, man, what does that mean? And I'm still thinking, man, what does that mean? And I've studied this for over 2 weeks now. The first thing I guess I felt like it was necessary was to think about God and what he's like and understand a little bit about God. There's a lot of misunderstanding about God today. I was listening to Francis Chan again a little bit this last week, and he made this comment, which I thought was very fitting. He said, one of the greatest dangers today is the fact that we have this social media that allows everybody to have an opinion and a thought. Everybody has an opinion and a thought, and they put it out for everybody. And you might say, well, how's that dangerous? Well, it's especially dangerous in the church, frankly. Because, and I see this all the time, everybody has an opinion and a thought. Well, this is what I think God is like. Well, here's how I think God behaves. Well, this is how I thought, if I was doing this, this is how I would do it, right? Those kinds of things. I see that all the time. I don't think God would do this because it's not what I would do. I've heard people say that. There have been a couple of movies, I don't know when they came out or whatever, but the idea of those movies being that some person was given the ability to be God, at least for some period of time. And I thought about that when one of those came out. I thought, I'm glad he hasn't given me that ability. And frankly, I'm glad he hasn't given a lot of other people that ability either. See, our opinion and our thought about what God is and what he will do doesn't mean anything. What matters is what the Word says about him, essentially what he says about himself. Okay, let's go to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. I knew this was not going to happen in one Sunday, but it may end up taking more than I expected. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Let's go there for a minute. I really want to think about God in all aspects, because today what so many want is, and what so many preach, is this feel-good thing about God. And by the way, don't think that because I said that I'm going to teach you something about God that doesn't feel good. But I'm going to tell you some things that wouldn't feel good. God is a terrible thing. And I didn't just make that up. Scripture says, go with me to Hebrews, the 12th chapter for a minute. Let's just read here, verse 18, I guess. Yeah, verse 18. He says here, "For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched," speaking of Mount Sinai, the physical mountain, "that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words." It says, "which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it should be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake." This is just a little description of what happened at Mount Sinai. It was so terrible. And the voice was so unbearable that they said, don't talk to us anymore. God was on that mountain. They couldn't come close to it. They couldn't touch it. It was a terrible thing. Now go with me to Exodus, the 24th chapter. Some of that, by the way, will be found in the 19th chapter, but I want to read some stuff in the 24th chapter here. This chapter starts, by the way, I'm going to read just a little bit in the very first couple of verses here. It says, "He said to Moses, come up to the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him." Afar off. There's a reason for that. verse 15 of this chapter. "And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and gat him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel." I'm about to run out of it, aren't I? Drinking a lot this morning. So, some descriptions here about God. these are terrible ideas. And frankly, not the kind of things that your feel-good prosperity preacher wants to talk about. There was, for I don't know if this still exists or not, well, I guess it doesn't in some way. There was a sect, and I can't remember the name of them now, but after the Lord Jesus came, but there was a sect that developed that basically what they taught was that there were two different gods. There was a God of the Old Testament, and he was an angry, wrathful, judgmental God, and then there's the God of the New Testament, and he's a loving, gracious, merciful God. And they taught that because they couldn't grasp this idea. Many people don't want to read the Old Testament because of this, by the way. God's a devouring fire. So terrible that they couldn't listen to his voice. He can't be approached, can't be touched. A God who brings judgment. Think about the days of Noah. God wiped every person off of the face of the earth except eight. It's a pretty big judgment. But that's what it says. That's our God. We have to be careful with our opinions and thoughts. I often read things and, you know, maybe on Facebook or something, and I often think, especially because most of the things I read come from people that I know to be believers, and I often think, did they read the Word of God? Because that seems like an opinion, and it doesn't line up with God's word. We need to be careful with our opinions. In, let me get out of order here, but that's okay. Didn't write it down, did I? That's hard to believe. Okay. This is what happens when you're putting your thing together when you're not feeling good. Sometimes it's only partially there. I wanted to read it to you. You know the verse, Isaiah 55, 8. That's funny. I remember doing that one. Isaiah 55, 8. God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We have to be careful with our thoughts. Anytime we begin to liken God to ourselves, we're treading dangerously, very dangerously. And I think it actually happens sometimes. We tend to want to think about God as a person. Not that he's not a person, but you know what I mean? Like a person like me with the same kind of thinking and limitations and so on. And we have to be careful about that because, see, when Paul prays about this for these saints, to be filled with the fullness of God, if we begin to think, if we're stuck thinking about God being like ourselves, I guess I am filled with the fullness of God, right? That's pretty dangerous. And also, it means that we don't get the benefit that God wants us to have. Paul prays these things. It's because he wants these saints to have this benefit. By the way, as we go through this, I'm not going to explain to you or express to you what that really means to be filled with the fullness of God. I'm just going to pray like Paul did that God will explain it to you. Because I still don't fully understand it. God fills the universe. You know that I like science, and so I read stuff, and there's been some papers written recently on dark matter because men don't know, they know what they see and what's there, but they don't know what is between all of that, what fills the rest of the space. And so they call that dark matter. And they don't know what this is. They don't know what fills the space. And I enjoy reading these things because when I read these things, I go, yeah, there's some things that are too much for man to think about. I know who fills the space. I know who fills everything. And it's God. And Paul says, he prays that we'd be filled with all the fullness of God. What does that mean? Let's go to the 40th chapter of Exodus now. Still thinking just about God's presence, God's glory. What it really means. What are we talking about when we speak about these things? The 40th chapter of Isaiah in verse 34. Yes, it's Exodus. I was in Isaiah, wasn't I? My mind is still over there, apparently. Exodus 40. Thank you very much. Exodus 40. And down around verse 34. in verse 33, at the end of that, says, so Moses finished the work. Speaking about the tabernacle here. And it says, then a cloud, verse 34, covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled their tabernacle. And notice this, and Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Isn't that interesting? The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Imagine that you come to church Sunday morning, and the glory of the Lord had filled this place to the point we couldn't even come in. Don't get me wrong, God's presence is here this morning, but he let us in. But think about the glory of the Lord. You know, as Tom was speaking this morning, he's talking about the light and the cloud and so on that led them. And there were times when the glory of the Lord just fills the place. Go with me to 1 Kings. The 8th chapter. I wanted to read some of these because I was just impressed with just the thought of, and if you think about this, I guess. I'm going to 1 Kings 8, around verse 11 probably. This is just a small thing. I forget the real dimensions of the tabernacle itself, but relatively speaking, it wasn't that large. And when I say relatively, you know, compared to, you know, the world and the universe and so on, it's a pretty small thing. It was filled with the glory of the Lord. But we know that he fills all in all. In the 8th chapter of 1 Kings and in verse 10, it says, it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. This is our God. What happens? Go with me to Daniel. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but that's okay. Go with me to Daniel. This is something I appreciate because, and we see this different places. I didn't write all of them down, but different places we find those that come into the presence of God. Daniel, the 10th chapter. That's where I'm going. Daniel, the 10th chapter. He's speaking here about a vision that he saw. Verse 5 says, "Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass. And the voice of his words were like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, and they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone, and I saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength." I thought this was interesting. What happens to those that come into contact with the presence of God? He says, there was no strength in me. He says, my comeliness, what good looking I was, he said, turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. God's presence is overwhelming. I haven't even gotten through half of this yet. God's presence is overwhelming. Lord willing, next time, because there's no way for me to keep going here this morning. Lord willing, next time, we're going to think a little bit more about that. Those that came into contact with God's presence. And this is all leading up so you can be meditating on this thought. To the prayer that Paul had that we would be filled with the fullness of God. Not just part way. Not just surrounding the other things that we put in there, but filled with the fullness of God. In order to fill this thing correctly to 3 cups, I first should have emptied it of this. Then I would have had truly a full 3 cups of milk in there. Are there any questions or comments this morning? I'm going to quit and let you think about that. Yes.
And empty ourselves before the Lord.
That's right.
In order for him to come in and fill. That was the thought I had.
Yes. Amen. It's a... like I said, I've been at this for about 3 weeks, and it's been overwhelming to me because I can't quite figure out what it means. But that's why Paul prayed. So that God would reveal it to us. Yes.
Yeah. And you can't keep it in general.
Yeah.
If you want to be filled with something in particular.
Yeah. That's right. I think that's a big part of what God is revealing to me is you have to start somewhere, right? Which is, if you want to fill it, you got to start by emptying. You got to start somewhere. And I think that's part of what God wants us to understand from this is he is the only thing that truly fills. But if we want him to fill us, we have to start by emptying ourselves. It's a hard thing to take in sometimes.
I have to keep reminding myself, Satan is no God.
That's right.
He's got something for everybody. Even when you think you got it all figured out.
Yeah, he still has something. That's right.
Because he's dead serious.
Mm-hmm.
And most Christians aren't.
That's right. One of the things that Francis Chan said in that same video I was watching is, he made this comment, which I hadn't really thought about. He said, when Satan came to Eve, did he ask her to worship him, to praise him? No, he said, you just do what you feel like. Do what feels good to you. That's a little bit paraphrasing, but it's exactly what he was saying. Do what feels good to you, right? He's not dumb. He's not looking. If he came today and said, worship me, you'd say, no, I don't worship you. But what if he comes and says, oh, you just do what feels good to you? Something to think about. Let's stand this morning and be dismissed.